son's inheritance. I wonder, would you pray with me before we begin? You can bow your head in your seat wherever you are. We're going to pray simply, Lord, as we look at your word this morning, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, Lord. Hearts to discern and to perceive what you would say to us today. May your voice be heard in every corner of this hall, in every corner of this building today, and in every corner of our lives, we ask you. In Jesus' mighty name, and the people of God say,
amen.
Amen, amen. I'm looking at Abraham's inheritance, and you may be wondering to yourself, what has Abraham's inheritance got to do with me? I'm going to be looking primarily at passages from the book of Genesis, chapters 12 and chapter 15. Many of you are very familiar with the story of Abraham, who became Abraham in the fullness of time. You'll pick it up as you go along, you'll get the picture. But what I want to talk to you about is Abraham's inheritance. The last time I was speaking, I was also speaking about inheritance, and I want to kind of carry on the theme somewhat. So everyone here already has an inheritance. Whether you have been able to cash your check for what your parents or your grandparents left you is not what the point I'm making. Everyone here carries a biological inheritance, that is, you've inherited your genes from your parents and from your grandparents. You may have a temperamental, as in you were born happy, sunny, or sad. You may have inherited a temperamental inheritance, or you may have had an environmental inheritance. You grew up in a happy home. How many people here grew up in a happy home? Just out of curiosity. That's the majority of us. Praise the Lord. What a blessing it is to grow up in a happy home. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So you grew up in a happy home. Some people haven't grown up in such happy homes and grew up in all sorts of difficulty. But all of that is your inheritance. But I want to look today at what happened in Abraham's life. I want to look at his inheritance. The inheritance that he had to leave behind. The inheritance he received. And the inheritance he leaves for us. Because Abraham leaves an inheritance for us from the example of his life and from his faith and so on and so forth. So we'll look at that in just a few minutes. Now, I was struggling earlier on this week about where I would start this message. So I called Tom. I said, Tom, I'm really struggling to start the message. I said, would you have any own ideas of ways that I might be able to start the message? He said, I do. He said, try a map. A map will do it every time. So I decided, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go with a map because you can't lose with a map. I like maps. Does anybody here else like, anybody else here like maps? Yeah, we're the weird people. Yeah, yeah. Everyone else is going, I don't like maps. So this here is a screenshot from Abraham's own phone. Did I hear somebody say, whoa? This is a screenshot from Abraham's phone. It's showing the path that he took and the journey that he followed. Our story today is going to concentrate on this area here and down into here. So he started down here at a place called Ur. Ur is on the banks of the Persian Gulf. This was before they discovered oil, because if they discovered oil, Abraham would never have left Ur, I can assure you that. He travelled up the Euphrates River through Babylon. Anybody hear of Babylon? By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down. You know the rest of the song, I hope. Up along the Euphrates River, and he ends up in a place here called Haran. Haran is where the story starts today, God's call to Abraham. But he travels up and then God takes him on a further journey from this area here of Haran. Have I lost my thing? Oh, there it is. From this area of Haran, he carries on down here into the land of Canaan. That's the journey that he takes. This journey here, this arching journey was traveled along what was known as the Fertile Crescent. In other words, you didn't come across straight because it was a desert. You traveled along all the fertile areas, and that was the safest road to travel back in Abraham's time. We're talking about a period known as the Neo-Sumerian Empire is in control. The Assyrians haven't risen yet. The Sumerians are on their last legs. If you're into your empires, that's where we are time-wise. Anyway, the point I want to make is this. He's leaving. God has called him to leave his own place in his own land. He's on a journey and he's carrying with him. He's traveling with his family. He begins in Ur. He's traveling with his father. Anybody know Abraham's father's name? Good. Terah. That's good. It means I've got an audience who I can fool around with. And does anybody know his grandfather's name? A guy called Nahor, and Nahor's grandfather was St. Patrick. Anyway, and if you believe that, I have a bridge I want to sell you down in the city centre. The point being, he's travelled with all of his family. They've all come up here. They're all in Haran, and that's where our story begins today. May God bless his word to our hearts and to our minds. God gives Abraham a greater promise. Fake or shame? Look at this. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country. your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. God's first big promise to Abraham. We're picking this up in Genesis chapter 12. But it's important to realize the first emphasis I have in here is on the Lord. And why am I emphasizing that? Simply because Abraham's spiritual inheritance was what was known as polytheism. Polytheism. They believed in many different gods in different areas. There was gods in certain locations. There was gods for fertility. There was gods for rain. There was gods for animals. There was gods of the sea, gods of the river. They had all sorts of gods. And this is Abraham's background. So Abraham's parents and grandparents would have worshipped the likes of Marduk, or Bel, or Nebo, or they would have worshipped, more specifically, they would have worshipped the moon god, a god called Sin, which is an interesting name for a god. This god was called Sin, and he had a consort known as Nergal, and they would have worshipped these gods as regular. You probably, if you've ever gone looking at anything in the ancient Middle East, you'll discover gods like Ashtoreth, Ishtar, Chemosh, Molech, all of these gods that they would have worshipped interchangeably. Now, something you need to know. If you were living in those days and you were part of a city like the city of Babylon and you were invaded by the city of Ashur, the city of the Assyrians, and they would go into your temples, they would take your gods, your idols, and take them back to their cities, and they'd say, no, these gods belong to us and they're our gods too. If you read your Bible, you know the story that when the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem and they went to the temple, they took all of the stuff, all of the gold from the temple, and they brought it back to Babylon, and they basically said, the God of the Jews belongs to us now. But the God of the Jews will belong to no one but God himself. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? He will only belong to himself. So the Lord says this to Abraham, and he's saying to him, leave your native country. Leave your native practices. Leave the practices of your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. Many of you have already walked in that reality here today. Many of you have come from countries other than Ireland, but you have come to the promised land. Amen. Flowing with milk and honey. How many people here were not born in Ireland? You are fulfilling the promises of Abraham. This is not your father's land. You've come to the land that God will make your life and build your life here. Can I get an amen? He will give you an inheritance here in this land. He will give you a future and bless you here in this country. Can I get an amen? Amen. The other thing to remember when we just look at this opening verse, and I'll spend another 3 hours on it, on this opening verse, right, is that what God is saying, what the Lord is saying to Abram, is I want you to leave the safety and the security of your culture, of your clan, of your tribe. Abraham was the firstborn son of his father Terah, which meant that he was going to be the chieftain of this tribe and of this clan, and he was going to therefore inherit all the benefits of being the chieftain of the tribe. But God says, I don't want you to have that inheritance. I have a better inheritance in mind for you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Do you know, last week Tom spoke about how when he became a Christian, his father disinherited him. Does anybody remember that last Sunday when Tom mentioned it? But I want to say this, and I believe God spoke to me. Comrade, I believe the Lord would say to you that because you turned your back on your natural inheritance, God has given you an inheritance in him that will never spoil or fade. Moreover, he has used you to put his inheritance into the lives and hearts and souls of hundreds and thousands of people. You are rich in God, Akala. God bless you. God bless you. The Lord said, leave all these things. I will make you into a great nation. Greater promise number one. What am I talking about, greater promises? As you read the Bible, you will notice what I would call a spiritual rubric. And that is, every time there is a greater promise, there is also a lesser promise given alongside it. The greater promise looks over the generations. Remember God said he would visit his love to how many generations of those who obey him? 1,000 generations. He says, I will lavish my love on 1,000 generations. And so the greater promises go down the generations, and the lesser promises affect our own individual generation. Before I leave this passage, I want you to think about Joshua chapter 24. There's a very famous verse in there, and it's this one. It says, as for me and my house, we will serve
the Lord.
We will serve the Lord. But actually, Joshua, before that, said, you need to choose today. And the Lord is speaking to some people here today. You need to choose today whether you will worship the gods that your fathers have worshipped beyond the river before you came into the place where you are now. You need to choose today whether you will worship them or you will worship the Lord and worship Him only. Amen. Because many people here are coming from different diverse spiritual backgrounds. You have some people have come from the Buddhist background, some from Hinduism or Jainism or animism or African traditional religion or simple secularism or what I think is the particular Irish version of it, what I would call Catholo-paganism, which is half Catholic, half pagan. We kind of have the Roman Catholic religion, but also half of the curses and the pishogues, as they're called, or the superstition of pagan religion. Today, we leave those religions Amen. Behind. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Today we leave them behind. Hallelujah. Today we break that inheritance and carry on in Jesus' name. Big, greater promise number one. He continues on. I will bless you and make you famous. You will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. That's what he's going to do. He's going to curse those who treat you with contempt. And then he says this, all the families on earth will be blessed through you, Abraham. All the families on earth, not just a handful of families in Canaan, not a handful of families in Israel, not a handful of families in Haran, but all the families on earth will be blessed through you. Wow. Wow, what a blessing. And that blessing is for you today as well. Maybe not the blessing of all families on earth, but the Lord will bless you and make you a blessing if you trust in Him. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? He will bless you. And He says, all families on earth will be blessed through you. I want to just put in a little factoid, as you might call it, about all families on earth being blessed through you. You know that Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation, yeah? And the father of the Jewish nation came through him. Does anybody know who Abraham's most famous descendant was?
Jesus.
Thank you. Tom reads his Bible. Jesus is Abraham's most famous descendant, right? So at the time when Jesus was born, it's believed there were somewhere around 6 million Jews living on planet Earth. Today, there are approximately 16 million Jews living on planet Earth. But because of Jesus and because of the promise made to Abraham that all families on earth will be blessed through you, which comes through Jesus, who is the inheritor of the promise, do you know how many people on planet Earth call themselves Christians today? 2.6 billion people call themselves Christians. And so the fulfillment of this promise has already begun. And many who aren't Christians benefit from the Christian message, benefit from Christian values, benefit from Christian culture, even right down to this day. All families will be blessed because they come through Abraham and thus through Jesus. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Tom's with me. Good job. So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot, his nephew, went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. 75 years of age. Can you imagine that Abraham must have been thinking at that stage, you know, maybe it's time to buy a nice bungalow on the banks of the Euphrates River, throw my feet up, lie in the hammock, eat grapes, relax, rest. That's it. Time up. It's time for me to retire. But God said, no, it's not time for you to retire. There is no retiring in God's plans.
Amen.
Tom said amen. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
God always wants to use you, no matter how old or how young you are. Can I get an amen? God wants to use you no matter how educated or uneducated you are. God wants to use you no matter where you're from or who you are. If you are in His kingdom, God wants to use you.
Yes.
Amen. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and he headed for Canaan. And then God spoke to him. Again, we pick up the story. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I will give this land to your descendants. This is the promises that were lavished out upon Abram. I mean, he didn't ask him. God picked him up and said, I want to do something through you that you would not expect. And I honestly believe God wants to say to many people here, God wants to do something through you that you do not expect. God wants to ambush you and surprise you with the power of God that will flow through those who are truly surrendered to him. God will use you. And he said, and God appeared and said, I will give this land. So as Abram looks out over the land of Canaan, God says to him, see all that land? It's all yours. It's all yours and it's going to go to your descendants. You're sorted, Abram. And this greater promise is made to Abram. Made to Abram. He'll be blessing to all families on earth. God is going to make him famous. He's going to bless him, use him as a blessing, and give this land to his descendants. There's one more greater promise that is yet to come. But we'll get to that in a second, because we have to get to one of the lesser promises. So picking up the story now, in Genesis chapter 15. Are you tracking with me now so far? Okay. So in Genesis, by the time we get to Genesis 15, Abraham has already been to Canaan. He's already been in Canaan, you know, living there for a while, and he's gotten himself into a couple of wars, as you do back in those days. His nephew Lot gets into trouble. He has to rescue his nephew Lot. He rescues him. He's taken away as a slave. He rescues him. He ends up doing battle. There's a war between Abraham's people and between the local tribal kings. He defeats the local tribal kings because God is with him and God's promise is upon him. And now he's living in Canaan. And he's a lot of enemies. But God will not let his enemies triumph over him. Amen. God will not let your enemies triumph over you. Amen. He will not let your enemies triumph over you, whether those enemies are internal or external, whether they're in your mind, your heart, your home, or your workplace. God will not let your enemies triumph over you. Could I get an amen?
Amen.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
And so the Lord appears to Abraham and says this to him. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, don't be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. I will protect you. Don't be afraid. How many times does the Bible say, don't be afraid? And the Lord says to him, don't be afraid, Abraham. Why? Because I will protect you. Don't be afraid because you've managed to get overcome fear through psychological techniques. Don't be afraid because you've loads of money in the bank and you're very safe. Don't be afraid because you live in a nice, free country like Ireland. No, he says, don't be afraid because I will protect you. There are people in this room today really need to hear those words. There are people here today, you are under pressure. You are being threatened, but this is what God would say to you. Trust in me and do not be afraid. I will protect you, says the Lord. Your reward will be great. In actual fact, in the original Hebrew, it's indicated that God says to Abraham that I am your great reward. That God himself would be part of Abraham's inheritance. And of course, that makes perfect sense because all the good things flowing into his life are from God. So therefore, the source is his inheritance just as much as what comes into his life. Are you with me? May God be your inheritance all of your days. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, the first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. That's this from Be Thou My Vision. But Abraham replied, O Sovereign Lord, listen to this. What good are all your blessings to me when I don't even have a son? I have no son. Lord, all of these things you poured into my life. At this stage, Abraham is very wealthy. He's got sheep and cattle and donkeys and goats. He's got servants. He's got a huge retinue in his household. He's got gold. He's got silver. He got all the stuff that we could only imagine. He's become so rich. And yet he says to the Lord, Lord, what good are they to me? Because I don't even have a son. There was always the one thing Abraham desperately needed was a son. And that was withheld from him. He hadn't experienced that yet. He said, Lord, thank you for all the blessings in my life. But there's still one thing outstanding. It's my experience, and it could be wrong, that for most Christians who love the Lord and pray and seek him and want his blessing, there's just one thing. You say, Lord, if you answered this prayer, I would die happy. There's just this one thing that is outstanding in my life. It could be the curing of a fear or a terrible habit. It could be the salvation of someone that you love. It could be just a place that you can live in safety. It could be an opportunity to serve with purpose and feel, have meaning and purpose restored to your life. But for everyone in my experience, there is one thing. I know what my one thing is. Do you know what your one thing is? If you know what the one thing, you said, Lord, if you answer that prayer, it would just make my year, make my day, make my life. If you know of the prayer that's in your heart, would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? See how many of us know that there's this one thing that's outstanding? I know my thing. I know it. It visits me every day and every night, and I pray every day and every night, and I'm trusting God because God is good all the time. Can I get an amen? Amen. Lord, what a good are all your blessings. And Lord, you have blessed me. And I got to say for me personally, the Lord has blessed me. Unbelievably I'm blessed. But there's still one thing. I do have a son, by the way, just for record. I have three of them. If anybody's looking to buy a son, I've got three sons for sale. I'm happy to have two. Since you've given me no children, wait for it, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants, so one of my servants will be my heir. So Eliezer of Damascus is standing outside the tent listening to Abraham praying, and he's outside going, Lord, don't let him have a son, don't let him have a son, don't let him, whatever you do, don't let him have a son. And Abraham's saying, Lord, I want a son. And Abraham's saying, I rebuke that prayer in Jesus, I rebuke that prayer. Eliezer doesn't want Abraham to have a son because it'll make Eliezer very rich. The worst news that Eliezer could hear is Abraham saying, Sarah's pregnant. Lord, rats! He would be so disappointed, but God has a plan. And he's there saying, you've got to remember, get your head into that culture, that if you didn't have descendants, it was the end of your family line. It was a sign of, they would interpret that simply as a curse, that their descendant line has been cursed. And so Abram's going, I'm blessed in all these areas, but this area appears to be cursed, Lord. What are you going to do? Eliezer's going to get everything, because there's no one else. He was the most senior servant in my household. And then the Lord says this to him. The Lord said, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. There will be a son who will be your heir. You know, I've spoken to so many people who are struggling to have children. It's unbelievable the number of people who are struggling to have children and are having to go through all sorts of treatments. Take heart. God's plan is for you to prosper and to pass down to the next generation what he has done in your life. Take heart, God is on the move. Can I get an amen? And then something amazing happens. The Lord says, hang on a second, I need to have a quick word with you here now, Abraham. And he gives him another greater promise. Then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. Wow. He looks off up into the Middle Eastern sky. I'm going to see it someday by God's grace. And he sees all the stars, the panoply of heaven up over his head. And he looks up and he can make out the Milky Way. And he can see Orion's belt and Pegasus. And he can see all the star signs in the heavens. And he's looking up going, wow, all of those stars are going to be mine. Now, I did research because I'm a sad individual. And I researched how many stars would you see with the naked eye in the Middle East 4,000 years ago. How sad am I? Anyway, it turns out that the general average of the number of stars that you would see in the heavens at that time was somewhere between 6 and 9,000 stars visible with the naked eye across the sky. 6 to 9,000 stars. And yet God gives Abraham descendants that are way, 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 way more than 6 to 9,000. In actual fact, God was underestimating or understating the sheer size of his promise. When we underestimate the size of our God, we underestimate the size of his promise. And God said, that's how many descendants you will have. And I'm thinking, what did Abraham do when he saw this? I know what he did. He went straight to Sarah's tent. He went straight to Sarah's tent. And he swung open the door. Sarah rolled over. It's nighttime. She's looking at him in one eye. And in steps Abraham, stands into the tent. Hey, baby. I just got a word from God. I'm going to have me a man child. And you're going to be a baby mama. And poor old Sarah thought, Lord, save us and bless us. Abram has got the promise of God. And how do I know he did that? Because it says this. It says, Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. It is by faith, from first to last. It is trusting God from start to finish. All of our lives, our Christian lives, our Christian walk, our following of Jesus, by faith from first all the way to the last. Nothing in between, only faith from first to last. However, how do we know that Abram had faith other than going to Sarah's tent with toot sweet? He went there as quickly as possible. How did he? Because he acted on what God said to him. That's the evidence. If you want to know what I believe, look at my life. Look what I do. Because what I do will tell you what I believe. What I do with my money, what I do with my time, what I do with my relationships, that will tell you what I believe. So look at your own life. Forget about me. There you are. Have a look at your life and think about what does your life say about your faith? It's not an accusation. It's not designed to induce guilt or shame of any form. I promise you that sincerely. But I do think that if you look at your life, you will know if whether or not your faith is real, because it will show up in your behaviors, in your actions, in your attitudes, and in your priorities. Now, we are all sinners. Can I get an amen? We're all sinners, and we all fall short of God's glory. Hallelujah. But God's grace is there for us. But nonetheless, the imprint will be there in our lives of the effects of faith. So what does faith actually look like? I'm going to get a volunteer. I've already selected this volunteer. I'm going to ask you, would you put your hands together, please, for Maria? Maria, you're going to make your work. Maria's all the way from India. If you would come up, please, Maria. This is Maria, my beautiful assistant this afternoon. This is Maria. She's all the way from India. Will you say, hi, Maria?
Hi, Maria.
No, Maria, thank you for volunteering. You don't know what you volunteered for, do you? Okay, so... So for the next bit, I'm going to have to put down the microphone because if I catch and hit me, it's not going to work. So I'm going to ask you, Maria, would you stand here for me, please? Would you face that way over there? See all those people over there? See, give me away. So what I'm going to do is, on the count of three, I'm going to tap you on the shoulder and I want you to fall, okay? No, don't fall forward, no, okay? This is live, no, we're live on TV here, like, yeah? So if this goes wrong, Maria, I'm going to be sued up to my eyeballs, innit? So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to ask you to face away from me. On the count of three, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to tap you on the shoulder, and then I'm going to ask you to just fall backwards. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And you're on stage. It's nice and soft. You'll be fine. No, you'll be okay. So, okay. I'm going to have to shout this bit now. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So Maria is going to demonstrate what fit. You can't be looking at me out the side of your eye. No. This way, sister. Good job. So in a few moments, I'm going to ask Maria, it's like a magic trick or something. I'm going to ask Maria on the concrete tree, I'm going to tap her shoulder, and then she's going to fall, and you're going to see what faith is like. Because Maria said she believed that I could catch her. Okay, she believed I could catch her. So on the count of three, we're going to see if she really does believe it. On the count of three. One, two, three. Absolutely perfect. Do you know why? Because though Maria said she thinks I can catch her, she's not willing to fall to make that happen. I know you are. We'll try it again, okay? But do you see how that actually demonstrates it just as well? Lord, I believe you. Trust in me. No, you're granted. And hold on. So we're going to try it again. Will you give it up for Maria? Come on. Now, ladies and gentlemen... We're going to make the lady disappear. Okay. Maria. Just give me a second. Maria, on the count of three, you're going to have to roll back on the back of your heels and fall and see if I catch you. Okay? Okay? Now, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to tap you on the shoulder like that. When I tap you on the shoulder, click, don't fall forward. Fall. On the count of three. One, two, three. Maria. Maria. Okay. One more time. You glad you came to church this morning? I'm going to fall myself and Maria can catch me. Okay, we're going to try it one more time? You have to trust me. I am going to get you.
I have to trust
you. Do you believe I'll catch Maria?
Yes!
You see, your brothers and sisters want to encourage you. Just let it happen, Maria. Let it happen, sister. Let it happen. On the count of three. One, two, three. Come on. Okay, give us a Maria! This is live church. You've seen it all here. Had Maria fought. Is there any other volunteer? I need a small woman who'll do it for me. Anybody? Come on. You'll do. This man here. Come up here. What's your name?
Brian.
Come on up here, Brian. Let's give it for Brian. The point has to be made, so now Brian is going to fall into my hands. Do you trust me, Brian?
Yeah.
Do you think I can catch you?
Yeah.
What weight are you just, by the way? Because I can bench press the kind of bench press. So I'm going to turn around. So, Brian, I'm going to catch you. Do you believe I can catch you? Do you believe I can catch Brian?
Yes!
On the count of three, I'm going to touch Brian on the right shoulder, and he's going to fall backwards into my hands, okay? Oh, Lord, let this be. Brian, on the count of three. One, two, three. Come on! Jail there, buddy. Thank you, Maria. You're very good. You're very good. We can practice at home, though. You can practice at home, okay? He believed the Lord, and God counted him righteous because of his faith. Do you believe what God says about your life? Do you believe his plans and purposes for you are good? Do you believe he has good plans for your life? Because that will show up in your life. So I want to follow not only the arc of the countryside, I want to follow the arc of the story into the New Testament, and I'm now running out of time. So I want to follow the story. This is Paul writing to the church in Galatia, and I want you to pay attention particularly to the end part, but also to the middle part. This is really important. He says this: in Christ Jesus, not in your own rights, but in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He says, you have clothed yourselves with Christ. You were baptized and clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So there's neither Irish nor English in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes. There is neither Pole nor German because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is neither traveler nor settled because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is neither Romanian nor Roma because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is neither Russian nor Ukrainian because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is neither Arab nor Israeli for those who are in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Can anybody know?
So whether you're a man or a woman, regardless of the color of your skin, the source of your background, wherever you've come from, whatever country you are, one in Jesus Christ with your brothers and sisters around you this morning. And he says this: if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise that God gave Abraham. It is your inheritance too. You're an heir of the promises of God. And what's the first promise he said to him? He said, I will bless you. And because you are in Jesus Christ, God will bless you. He says, I will make you a blessing. And because you are in Jesus Christ, God will make you a blessing. Are you with me? I'd rather be blessed than be a blessing, you know, if I was to tell you the truth. But it's still good to be a blessing too. Can I get an amen? He says, these are, you are heirs of this. You are heirs of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That is the greater promise that we inherit. Comes all the way down from Abraham through Jesus, through 2,000 years. Travels the whole 160 generations from Abraham to now. But God is a God who lavishes love to 1,000 generations. Hallelujah. He's lavishing it on you. And you are an inheritor of that promise made to Abraham. So What does Jesus have to say about it? Jesus also has something to say about the greater and the lesser promises. So in every promise, there is a greater and there is a lesser element to it. And Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, has a few things to say about what's of higher priority and what's of lower priority. He wants to talk to you about the greater blessing and the greater promise and the lesser promise in this short passage. Now, if you don't like these words, take it up with Jesus. Okay? They're his words. I didn't write them. I didn't write them down. I didn't say them. These are Jesus' words. Here's what he says. Do not store up treasure on where thieves break in and steal, and moth and rust destroy, and inflation outgrows your savings, and the stock market crashes, and property price bubbles burst, and where the AI bubble bursts. But store up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust and property bubbles and inflation and sickness and ill health and disease do not destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Whatever is making, whatever makes your heart flutter, that's where your heart is. That's what's important to you. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you are a husband, and when you are away from your wife, you miss her and long to be with her, I have good news for you. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Would any of the brothers say amen?
Amen.
Three of the brothers said amen. Would any of the brothers say amen?
Amen.
If you are a sister in Jesus and you are married to a good man, even a bad man, I don't know, figure out yourself. If you are a Christian woman and you are married to a Christian man, when you're not with him, you're thinking, oh, I miss you so much, baby. Where your treasure is, your heart will also be. Be joyful, because that means you have your treasure in the right place relationally. Can I get an amen? But Jesus is saying that the things of this earth are of less value than are the things that we store up in heaven. All of these things are temporary. All of those things are eternal. Paul writes to the Christians and says, therefore, we fix our eyes not on what we can see in front of us, all the things that are in our home and in our lives, but we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, because what's seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. He says, fix your eyes on those things. Get it right. Fix your eyes on those things. But then Jesus goes on to say some other things that I think are worth paying attention to. The greater and the lesser promise. So do not worry. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Do not worry. Saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? Because the pagans are running around after these things. What will I eat? What will I drink? What am I going to wear? How am I going to get my hair done? Am I going to wear Prada? Am I going to wear Gucci? Am I going to wear Boss? Am I going to wear, I don't know, Hugo, take your pick, fill in some dead, fill in a Christian Dior or something like that. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? Because their minds are taken up with what they wear and their bellies. Not only what they do put into their bellies, but they're very careful what they don't put into their bellies. The pagans run after all those things. And your heavenly Father, he knows that you need them. Have you got need this morning? Do you need the rent? Do you need a job? Do you need a husband or a wife or a partner in life? Do you need a breakthrough to get into a university? Do you need healing? Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Can I get an amen? He knows everything about your life. Hallelujah. You cannot hide anything from him, and you can bring everything to him. He loves for you to bring all of those things to him. I'm nearly there, lads. Then he goes on to say this. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will just be given to you as well. That's the greater and the lesser promise. Seek first the kingdom of God. Put God things first. See the kingdom where God rules and where he reigns and where what he does is right. You put that first in your life, and all the other stuff just seems to happen in your life. I know I've experienced that. Comrade, have you experienced that? He's experienced it. So many Christians who are sitting in this room have experienced that. Put God's kingdom first. He takes care of the rest. It's a curious thing. It's a bit like when you put God's kingdom first. This is my experience. It's almost like like you become magnetic. You walk through a room full of metal objects and they start sticking to you. You're like a superhero in the movie, because what happens is God's blessings just start sticking to you because you've got your priorities first. God makes you magnetic for his blessing. You just attract them whether you like it or not. Hallelujah. And you like it, trust me. You like it. But he says, all these things will just be given to you. But you have to have your priorities right. And do you know something? If you're living in a house, or you're working with friends, or you're hanging around with your neighbors, they know what your priorities are. It'll be obvious. It'll be evident. It'll be all over your life what your priorities are. Parents, can I just say to you, your kids know your priorities more than you know your priorities. They know what's really, really important to you. Set them the right example. We had a baby dedication just a while ago of little Ruby. And we were calling on both Angel and Favour to give a good example to little Ruby as she's growing up, because she will observe them far better than they'll observe themselves. But all these things will be given to you as well. Let me come nearly to a close. Therefore, he says, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I know I'm just running a little bit late, but I need to ask this. Is there anybody in this room that is tomorrow facing a trial or a trouble or a situation for which they need the intervention of God? Is there anyone facing that? If you are, would you raise your hand? If you're facing something tomorrow, within the next 24 hours, I see your hands, I see your hand. Is there anybody else here? I see your hand there. Do I see any others? I see hands here and here and here and here. Can I ask you, would you stand just for a moment? I would just like to pray for you right now. And maybe if there's anybody around you, they would just put a hand on your shoulder and just stand with you just for literally 1 minute. We're going to pray for 30 seconds. We're going to pray. Father in heaven, we commit our brothers and sisters into your hands. We ask you, Lord, that whatever tomorrow brings, that you would be there for them. Whatever challenge they face tomorrow, Lord, may they be reminded they are overcomers in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Whatever they face tomorrow, may they have the grace to face what comes, Lord. Bless our brothers. Bless our sisters. Grant them deliverance. Grant them healing. Grant them confidence. Grant them the words to say. Grant them wisdom, we ask you. In Jesus' mighty name, and the people of God say, amen. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he lives, we can face tomorrow. But you know what your enemy wants you to do? He wants you to live in one of two places. He either wants you to live in the past or live in the future. He does not want you to live in the present, because it's only in the present that we can experience God's favor and God's grace. There's no grace for the imagination of tomorrow, and tomorrow is mostly imaginary, whether you like it or not. Now, for some people, they want to be stuck. The enemy wants them back in the past, thinking about the pains and the troubles they've experienced. But I want to tell you this about your past. You can do nothing about it. It is fixed. The damage is done. Or the resistance, it's just, you cannot do anything about it. You know the old serenity prayer? Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Do you know the thing you cannot change the most is the past? It's frozen. You can't do anything about it. You may have to deal with issues in it, but it is frozen and you cannot change it. Your future is imaginary, but God's grace is present for today. That's why Jesus says, don't be worrying about tomorrow. There'll be plenty to worry about tomorrow, but in today, you can experience God's grace and God's favor and God's salvation, because today is the day of salvation. It says it several times in the scriptures, loads of times in the Old Testament, New Testament. Today is the day of salvation, and today for me is a day of salvation, and let me explain why. Because every day I'm being saved a little bit more than I was the day before. Does that make sense? So for every one of us, today is the day of salvation. This time, this present is where God is at in your life. Hallelujah. So praise God, we've got today. Can I get an amen? Praise God, we've got his favor today. Can I get an amen? Praise God, we've got his blessing today. Can I get an amen? Tomorrow will take care of itself. Never trust. Don't be afraid, said Corrie ten Boom, to trust an unknown future to a known God. unknown future to a known God. He knows what tomorrow has for you. Don't you fear. Don't you fear. Let me come to a wrap. Maybe the band will come up. Last couple of verses. So therefore, you know, we're often told you shouldn't have too high expectations. I've even quoted myself that expectations are the seeds of resentments, it's been said. Sometimes our expectations are way too high in life. But that's not what the Bible tells us about expectations. This is what the writer Peter writes to the early Christian church. He says, "Now we live with great expectation that we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for who? For you. For who? Can anybody say, for you?
For you.
Thank you, amen, hallelujah. So there's a priceless inheritance kept in heaven for?
You.
Yay, praise the Lord. It's for you too, can I get an amen? It's for you, he says. It is pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change or decay. So our expectations should be high about what God is doing in his inheritance through our lives. Our expectations should be high of what God can do in our situations, in our lives, and in our circumstances. Our expectations should be high. Our faith should be high. Look what he did through Abraham. Last verse of the day. Ready for the last verse of the day? Here we go. This is what he writes, Paul writes. He says, what will you say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? How many things? Some things? A few things? How will he not graciously with him give us? All things. All things. It means you will need never lack. And your future is full of plenty. Of plenty and of abundance. That's what your future is full of. And how do we know that? Paul is making the point of the greater and the lesser promise. Because God has done the greater thing for us in sending his one and only son to die in our place. Like, is he then going to go, nah, I'm going to be stingy with you now. I'm not going to do that for you. After giving us his son, he says, he's going to give us everything else as well, isn't he? Amen. Will you stand with me? Stand with me. We're gonna pray. I'm conscious I've gone on just a little bit longer, but I got the mic late, so you're gonna have to suffer getting a little bit late. Okay, so we're gonna pray in just a second. You have the band here? Yeah, we're gonna sing the song. We're gonna sing from the song The Blessing. May his favor be upon you to a thousand generations, to your family and your children and your children and their children. If that's your prayer this morning, will you raise your hands as we sing? Zosha. May his favor be upon you
and a thousand generations, to your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you.
You need to leave behind you a spiritual inheritance. You need to leave it behind you and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you and you only know in all ways. If that's your prayer, will you raise your hands too, wherever you are in this hall? I'm going to pray briefly. I'm conscious of our time. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have great plans and great purposes ahead for your people. You have provided for us a great inheritance, a great salvation, great forgiveness, great blessing. May we have great expectations of you. Can I get an amen? Lord, I pray, Lord, that which we need to bring before you this morning, that one outstanding thing. For Abraham, it was a son. For many of us here, it'll be something different. It will have a different shape and a different flavor, whatever that is. We bring it before you again today, our Heavenly Father. And we leave it in your hands and say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in the situation in my life. Hear my cry. Hear the longing of my heart for what I love and what I long for. I commit it and submit it into your hands, Lord. Replace, Lord, I pray, my sadness with joy. Lord, I pray you would replace my perplexity with peace, Lord. Lord, I pray you would replace, Lord, my sense of being cursed with your blessing all over my life, Lord. Upon me and upon my children and upon my children's children and my children's children down to the 1,000th generation. Can I get an amen? And Lord, we pray for all of those today who need to leave behind an inheritance. Lord, whether it's an inherited inheritance physically or whether, Lord, it's a temperamental issue or a habit or a sinful pattern or a behavior or whether it's a spiritual attachment to Buddhism or Hinduism or Jainism or animism or a traditional African religion or Catholic-paganism, Lord, whatever it is that we need to leave behind, we leave it in here today and we declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Will we pray that one more time? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah.